Good morning. I am Darren, son of my father, father to my children, husband to my wife. Anyway, my son introduced himself similarly, kind of the same. So anyway, I'm Darren. The last few weeks, there's been an accountant, a couple of accountants, accountant-like people up here. They opened with a joke. So the only dental joke I know, and it's bad. What is a dentist's favorite time? Tooth hurting. It's really funny after like two or three years of telling the same joke. But it's amazing how often 2:30 is the time for something. And then you get to tell the joke. Oh, that's my favorite time. Why is it your favorite time? Is it a dentist's favorite time? Anyway, Andy's not here. He's in Florida. So you get me. So if you're a VBS person, just to let you know, it's normally better than this. Just be like, boy, they got a good VBS program, but that guy on Sunday, what are they doing over there? Well, so we do have a lot of speakers on Sunday mornings. Andy is normally the main guy. He's not. He's in Florida, but we're pretty informal. What we'll do? We're going to read some Bible. We're going to read some Bible verses. I will ask y'all, this is a crowd participation, reading these verses, what does that teach about God? So just a hint, normally that would start with God is or Jesus is, something like that. And then that's what we'll do. And then we'll go through some verses. We're talking about Abraham, Father Abraham. So we'll do that. And then I'll kind of wrap us up at the end. And then my goal is not to be as long-winded as my son that went to like 2:30 or something. But we can all get out and get to Slim Chicken. Same thing. We can all get to Skinny Chicken before the rush, you know. So, all right, let's open in prayer. Dear and Father, just thank you for just who you are. Just thank you for loving us, even though we just don't deserve it all the time, basically none of the time. And just let your Spirit work, just let your Spirit work on our hearts and open our hearts to hear what you have to say and just say what you need, just say what you want to be said in this next few minutes. And just thanks for allowing us to have your word and just be able to open your word and learn more about you. In your name we pray, amen. So, you know, normally we do one chapter. And in the times I've been up here, that's what I've generally done is like one chapter. You read one chapter. Well, so in today we're trying to like not read every verse in Genesis because it's really long. So it's my first time kind of skipping around. So I go ahead and I apologize about my skipping around. I'm not a professional. But we're going to see how it goes. So Genesis 12, 1, we'll start there. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So that's the first couple verses. Then we'll jump down to 10 through 13. Yes? I can, yeah. You know, Chad and I talked about that. I was like, hey, we plugged that in. Does that work? And I forgot. Yeah, okay. So now, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say that you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and for my life will be spared because of you. All right, so Abraham had been promised to inherit Canaan. God had given this, like here in verse 1 through 3, he's going to make him a great nation and give him this land. So then right here in verse 10, he bolts, he leaves. So just in that section, what does that teach us about God? God is faithful. When we are not. Yeah, so like God's obviously he's promising them, hey, I'm gonna make you into a nation. Here's gonna be your land. And then Abram at this point, Abram's like, hey, there's a famine. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Anything else? Anybody see anything else there? God makes good promises. Yeah, obviously, Abraham didn't have any children. He was married, but he promised, hey, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Like, they wanted kids. Like, that's a great promise. All right, let's go on to 15. We'll finish these Genesis verses. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar, Eman of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. That's chapter 15. So right after that is God's covenant. That's Keith taught that many moons ago. But that's when Abram went to sleep. God had these animals that he split in two, and then God walked through these animals. That was how back then they made a covenant, a promise with each other. They would walk through these animals, and it was, if I don't fulfill my promise, cut me in two like these animals. That was what was being shown. So just right after what we just read, it's God's covenant, God walking through these split animals. Chapter 16 is Hagar. If y'all kind of remember that, like, God has promised this family, this huge nation, to come from Abraham. Abraham decides, hey, I got to help God. So he goes to his wife's servant, maidservant. They have a kid. That wasn't God's plan. So you see, God made this big covenant, walking through these animals, puts him to sleep. The next thing Abraham does is goes and has this kid with his wife's servant. Kind of like, well, that's kind of weird. All right, then picking up in chapter 17. God also said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you are to no longer call her Sarai, but her name will be Sarah. I will bless her, and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. King of peoples will come from her. Abram fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abram said to God, if only Ishmael, the other son, might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Now Abraham moved on from the region. Ishmael was born. God comes back, restates the promise. Sarah's going to have a boy. You're going to have a kid. It's going to be a great nation. So then we skip a few verses. Again, now Abram moved on from there to the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Sur. And for a while he stayed in Gerar. And there Abram said to his wife Sarah, she is my sister. Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you are as good as dead because of the woman that you have taken. She is a married woman. So again, you see, Abraham gets nervous. He leaves again. He goes to a different country. So I'll open it up again. Does anybody see any truths about God through all of this, through Abraham's life here as he's yo-yoing back and forth? What was the other one? There was another one in there. God is an optimist.
As many stars are in the sky and grains are on the sand or on the beach, God, that is the show of how much God loves us.
This is a little aside. An aside. Have you ever been where it's like just completely dark? You know, not like in Nashville, but you know, you go to like the ocean or Hawaii or like Arizona. You know, somewhere where there's not a lot of lights, and you look up at night, and it's, you know, like here, you know, you see like a million stars, but you go to one of those places and you look up and there's like a gazillion billion stars. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Do what? Alabama. Well. I figured that's where you were going with that. Anything else, truths about God in this? I'm bad at hearing. I heard a voice. Oh, there you are. What did you say? Yeah. All things. Any more? Adam? Yeah, like, you know, even at the very, very beginning, I will make you into a great nation, I will bless you. I will make you I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Like, even in that, like, you're given this great promise. Whoever hurts you, I'm going to hurt. Whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. And I'm going to make you into this great nation. And then there's a famine, and suddenly you're like, hey, God, there's a famine. I'm going that way. I'll see you over there. And God is still faithful. Like, he still protects Abraham when he's over there. You know, he goes over there. He lies about his wife. You know, God still protects his wife, protects him, you know, has his shield over them, so to speak, still protecting them. I just find it very interesting. Even the covenant, You know, the covenant where he walks through the animals, where, you know, God, you know, puts you to sleep. He walks through these animals, kills them. And then the very next thing is Hagar and Ishmael. It's like, and I just feel like maybe I've done that in my own life. You know, you have these great moments with God. You know, either, you know, you go to camp, you know, back when I was going to camp, you know, it was 1,000 years ago. But you go to camp and, you know, so this is a little background information about me. The only, back when I was listening to music, we had cassettes. Keith and I know what cassettes are. But you would listen to your little cassette. And then it was a really big deal when CDs came out. But then you had this CD player that you put in your car that connected to your cassette player. But if you went over the railroad tracks in Mount Juliet, it skipped. And you missed, like, a couple of words. But anyway, whether I was in the transition period between cassettes and CDs. Anyway, you go to camp. And you realize, you know, I'll pick on Andy, he loves Garth Brooks. All your Garth Brooks music is, you know, from the devil. So you come from camp and you kind of you go back to the church and you burn all your CDs. And y'all laugh, but I know there's some people that have did it with me in here. They're in this area. They did it. Trust me. They came. They burned all their CDs. You know, they had a book that was, you know, a little too spicy. They came back. They're like, hey, we gotta burn this book. But, you know, you get what I'm saying. You go to camp. You're on this high. And you're just like, boy, every morning I'm reading my Bible. You know, I go to breakfast. I read my Bible. I'm having my quiet time every morning. And, like, me and God are just really close. And I'm going to go back to school. And, you know, I'm only going to wear church shirts that say God on them real big. And, you know, I'm never listening to another song that's not Jesus Freak. You know, that's just. And then all of a sudden you're back into the real world. And everything falls apart. You know, where's your Bible? I don't even know where my Bible is. My Bible's in my car from last week, when I went to church. I hadn't looked for it all week long. It's still in the car. You know, I can't afford to buy all Jesus shirts, so I got to wear some other shirts, and the only shirt I have is my Garth Brooks concert shirt, so I'm wearing my Garth Brooks shirt, you know, to school or whatever it is. And I feel like even, you know, just, you know, after VBS, you have a great week. You know, either as a counselor, as a kid, you have this great week. You know, then the crash comes later. You go to youth camp. Everything's great, and then you get back into the real world and you crash. You know, you fail. It just seems to be how my life was. You know, that's. Maybe all of y'all just stayed rocketing high, climbing high, whatever it is. Like that little climbing mountain on Price is Right, the little guy with a pickaxe that falls off the cliff, you know. Anyway. Let's turn the corner a little. We'll turn a corner and go to Mark. Because we know we have to get to Jesus is the better Abraham. So that's how we're going here. Mark 1:9. And then that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was born and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and you I am well pleased. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. And then if we go to Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone.'" The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of all the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So I'll open that back up to y'all. What does this teach about God? I can't hear you again. Now I hear lots of shouting. Oh, faithful. God/Jesus is faithful. Anything else? We had two going there at the same time, so I can barely hear one. Let's start with you over here. Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's true. Like, Jesus remained faithful even though he was attacked. You know, God's doing something good. Satan comes and attacks that. Jesus stood faithful. Tyson, what'd you say? Yeah, Jesus in his humanity. Yeah, I think Jesus does, like Jesus understands what we're going through because he's been through it. And he's been through it worse than us, harder than us, and still remained faithful. You know, I think from this, like you can see, like, what I liked here was you have God talk to Abraham, and then Abraham messes up. Or on the flip side here, you have God, you know, at the baptism of Jesus, you have God saying, hey, this is my son who I'm well pleased. And then you have Jesus being faithful. So you see that us humans are like we're faulty, we're messed up, we're not perfect, we're not God, essentially. It's hard for us to understand sometimes. We try to be God, but we're not. But anyway, then in comparison to that, you have Jesus. God spoke to Jesus, and then then Jesus lives it out perfectly. You know, that's the beginning of his ministry there. And so you do get, you know, Jesus is the better Abraham. You know, so when, you know, Andy and I, we were talking about this, and, you know, it's kind of goofy, you know, different people are teaching different stuff, and like, what are we going to teach, and where are you going to be in Genesis? And I was like, well, I want to do the Abraham not being like the big Abraham that we all talk about. I was like, he messed up a whole lot. And I really like, so back here in, way back up here, when it's credited to him as righteousness, it's right there, chapter 6. I didn't do my pencil right, but right there in chapter 6. Or verse 6. Like, something happens in Abraham where it's credited to him for righteousness. And as I've thought about this, even just kind of the last couple of weeks, like, I don't know. Abraham believed God, and he gets credited as righteousness. So God declared him righteous because of Abraham's belief. But this is before Isaac. This is before Hagar. This is before one of his trips out of the country. But he's declared righteous. And I'm like, has he, Abraham's big story is, you know, is Isaac, like Isaac taking him up, not sacrificing him. And if I was God, don't credit him righteousness until after Isaac. Right? Like, put him to this big test, then credit him righteousness if he passes the test. But this is way, way at the beginning. Like, he messes up a lot after this. But God credits him as righteousness. So I'm just like, well, man, this is still my life. I am still Abraham. Like, how many of us, I went to VBS, I was in church a lot. I've told y'all before, I have a very high opinion of myself to a fault. Jeremy over here, he always, it's me and Jesus up here, and then it's all of y'all. I'm sorry. Like, when I was a when I was in school, you know, I was the dork at the end of school that got all the awards. You know, I got all the grade awards, I got the teacher pet award, I got the good student award. Like I got the best dressed award. I mean, I looked good. It was I thought I looked great. I never wore jeans. I always wore slacks. I always wore like a sweater, even like in the summer, because I thought sweaters were cool. I don't know. Cosby Show was real big. I, you know, liked Cosby sweaters, I guess. But anyway, I forgot where I was going about me being great, but just wanted to share that with y'all. I'm doing great. Oh, no. So I got saved as a really young person. I felt like I was following Jesus at a young age, got baptized, I was at church almost every day of the week, even during like youth and up till I started a job, like literally I was at the church building almost every single day of the week. And the unrighteousness, to use a church word, the unholiness in me, the bad stuff in me was huge. Like I would go on camps and stuff and I'd be like, oh yeah, me and God, we're really tight. But then, you know, life would happen and stuff would happen and, you know, stuff happened. And you're just like, I'm the furthest from God than I've ever been in my entire life. And with all these Bible characters, even Abraham, like big, huge Abraham, the father, like who all the people like, hey, we're Abraham. Like they messed up a lot too. And it just, it encourages me in a way that, hey, all these people messed up too. Like I messed up. And anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Sometimes I get a little excited. we get to Romans 18. It's not Romans 18, it's Romans 4. It's Romans 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to them. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. So even right there in 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact, like, without weakening in his faith? Like, I don't know, but did Abraham really have strong faith there? He messed up a lot. He still did Hagar. Didn't come out quite right. But, you know, he still had, like, colossal mess-ups after this. But anyway, right here in Romans, without weakening in his faith. And I'm like, well, let's go. Since they're in 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it is credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And so you get to this point, so like, Abraham is there and God declares him righteous. And then it makes me think back to Genesis 1, back when we were like, you know, God says, you know, land, and there's land. God says water, and there's water. Like when God says righteous, you're righteous. It can't be changed. Like when God says it, it is. And I don't know about y'all, but I have messed up my life a lot in the past, a whole lot. And when Andy a lot of times calls it the pit, when you're walking through this pit and you feel like you're the worst person in the world and you got nothing to hang on to, and you're just like, God, give me the next breath that I can have so I can live one more breath. When you get to that point of the pit and the desperation that all you can hang on to is Jesus, be encouraged that if you're a follower of Jesus and you're in the pit, God has declared you righteous, and you are. And when God is looking at you, he does not see your past, he sees Jesus, and you are righteous. And a lot of times that was very hard, because you're like, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to be called righteous because of how bad I was. But how are you going to argue with God? When God looks at you and declares you righteous, you're righteous. And when God declares it, when God says it, like it is. Like when the I am says righteous, you're done. Like, not done. Like, you're done with your argument. Like, he wins that argument. I'll run through my little list here. And this is for everything. God is a promise maker. God is a promise keeper. God keeps our relationship. It's like on that, like, clearly, you know, the verse this goes back to in Genesis where, God's cursing Satan, and he's like, hey, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to squash your head. Does that ring a bell? Yeah. God has to preserve this line. God has to do that. God promised Jesus, and Jesus has to come. Like, Jesus has to come. So with Abraham, isn't it good that the relationship between God and Abraham depended on God and not on Abraham? Like, between God and Abraham, like, there's no contest on who's keeping this relationship going. Like, if it's not for God, like, Abraham may have wandered off and never got back to the promised land. God declares us righteous. Jesus is the better Abraham. Jesus knew no sin. Jesus conquered temptation and Satan. God can only speak truth. And then I wrote, God accepts a small amount, a wavering amount, an up and down faith. Like, you know, if you're here and you're like, I want to follow Jesus, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if I am. Like, be encouraged. Look at Abraham and be encouraged that his wandering, wavering faith, his ups and downs, his mistakes, his victories, God looked at him and declared him righteous. Like, if you want to follow Jesus, if you're wanting to do that. Like, Abraham didn't clean his life up first. He was still a mess. But you can follow, and it doesn't have to be this perfect faith. Like, once you decide, like, hey, I'm gonna be a follower of Jesus, your life isn't gonna be perfect after that. You're still gonna mess up. You're still gonna goof up. Like, we're human. That's what we're really good at. But God is gonna be faithful. And God is gonna keep bringing himself right in front of you and being like, I want a relationship with you. And that's the deal, like, have a relationship with God. God will be faithful in that relationship. So in closing, hint, hint, Keith. Yeah. If you're struggling with your faith, just confess that to God. Like, just confess, hey, I'm struggling, and God will accept your faith and declare you righteous. And even if you failed, even in big ways, and you've been declared righteous by the creator of the universe, he sees you as righteous because he sees the righteousness of Jesus covering you. And that's the thing, like, even here at the end of Romans, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life. Like, Jesus did, he conquered death. And that's the reason I can mess up miserably. Because I can be messed up, stained with sin, but because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that the holiness of God, like, Jesus takes care of that for me. He makes me white as snow. He covers the sin, and when God looks at me, he sees a perfect creation. And that's what the relationship with Jesus is about having a relationship with God and knowing that Jesus is enough, that Jesus is enough. So, there will be people up front, if you want to come and pray with someone, and then we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for who you are. Just thanks for providing a way for us to get back to you. And just thanks for sending your son Jesus to die for us and raising him back to life. Because that's what our hope is in. Our hope is in you, and our hope is in Jesus. In your name I pray, amen.